This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Notre Dame 40, Oregon State 8 in the 2023 Sun Bowl. Blowout win for the Fighting Irish. Nice, comfortable win. And we're going to talk about this triumph for the Irish. Notre Dame getting to 10 wins this season. So I'm Mike Singer, joined by our resident football analyst, Tim Hyde, to break down this game. And it was really a dominating game from start to finish, even when, you know, Notre Dame scored that easy, beautiful 96-yard, touchdown drive on, I believe it was their first drive of the game, and then kind of started a little bit, got one late in the first half. But still, it seemed like if Notre Dame gets to 14, they win the game. Oregon State was pretty putrid on offense. But, yeah, nice victory here, Tim. What's your initial reaction?
Oh, I mean, I'm excited. I stayed away from texting you all game because I was cheering like a, crazy fan today down here at the mother-in-law's. I loved it. It was a fun day. I was excited as could be. A lot of good things. When it was bad, it's like, okay, who cares, And Jelly holds the ball for two times, gets sacked. He gets the delay of games. All right, it's his first time he started since his high school year, for crying out loud. And those are all just learning things. And, I'm a little speechless in a good way, and just it was just exciting. It was really good to see a lot of good young players, a lot of young players all over the place. I've been saying for weeks, I'm so glad Hartman didn't play, and I was really, really even more glad during the game. It was a perfect day for Notre Dame, perfect day for a lot of the players. Offensively, Jadarian Price looks fully healthy. Love's the one that looked tentative, and Price just looked like, give me the ball next season. I love that. Just a couple quick notes. The offense, I think they only punted one time, Mike, right? Yeah. One punt. So I got a ton of notes. We could get into a bunch of things. The defense was outstanding. I'm sitting there yelling when they scored because the coach in me, I hate playing backups. I hate when you have a shutout and you got to play the backups, and they give up a touchdown immediately. I can't tell you how many times that's happened in my life, and I absolutely hate it. So, but it's part of life, right? It's part of coaching. You know it's going to happen. But unbelievable. Kudos. Hey, to the offensive line, it's like, You are missing. I mean, that graphic they showed, Mike, where the O-line, the O-line didn't miss a snap for 10 games. And then, obviously, the injury to Rocco. And then Zeke in the Clemson game, Ashton Craig comes in, and then obviously Billy Schrauf, and then the two tackles getting ready for the NFL. Hey, high five, Charles Jagasaw and Tosh Baker. Those guys, I mean, they were in the top 10 in sacks. The two ends they went against, I think, had 16, 17 sacks combined coming into the game. And the two sacks were really just holding the ball. It was in, straight pressure. Unbelievable job. I think they had to run for around 250-ish. Great job by Coach Rudolph. He's in my notes here. Like, Coach Rudolph, unbelievable job getting those guys ready for a couple weeks. The rookie at quarterback, even the wide receivers. I could ramble. Let's get to some questions. Let's get to whatever the thoughts come into you, Mike.
Yeah.
Ecstatic. I got some unbelievable stats that just blew me away when I looked at them. So I'll throw those out throughout the show. But good win for Notre Dame. Good win. I don't care about the depletion. Oregon State, Notre Dame had plenty of opt-outs as well. And their depth, that was what the big question was, is the recruiting that's been taking hold the last few years. Are we going to see it? Damn right. We saw it today. And that's exciting. Get ready for next year.
James, thanks for this $2 Super Chat. Trash, $5 says, always good to get to 10 wins. Always good to get a win going into the offseason. Very excited for next season with all the talent. Quarterbacks have decisions. Trash, really appreciate the $5 Super Chat. Brandon said, I know Oregon State is depleted, but I don't think we could have asked for a better way to leave this season and go into next year. Yeah, I completely agree. And I mean, yeah, it's Notre Dame's defense was outstanding. And that was, aside from Cam Hart and Leah Fowles, it was Notre Dame's defense that we saw all year, right, Tim? Is there anyone I'm missing that opted out?
Yeah, you have Maris, Cam Hart, and then, yeah, exactly. Yeah, everyone else.
Players.
Yeah, I mean, the depth was there. The backups all you know, obviously a couple guys, Ramon Henderson, whatever, but that's fine. They,
right.
I mean, there's Ramon Henderson with Clarence Lewis, who started in games. Oh, Harper at Nick.
Oh, yeah.
But overall, you're right, Mike. And my thing on D, the Aztec. I mean, they went Aztec package every passing down and just dominated Oregon State. They didn't give up any yards when they went to the Aztec package today. And that the key player in that, you brought this up a couple weeks ago, Jalen Snead. Snead replacing Maris Leofau. And Snead was wrecking havoc in the Aztec, which is the dime for those that don't know.
Who replaced Harper today?
It was Clarence Lewis. Yeah, Clarence Lewis. They did a lot of three linebackers at times, which was Kaiser, Snead, JD, and then Bowen got in. The freshman linebacker got in a bunch, was playing. It looked like the Will backer. They had Kaiser at Rover, JD at Mike, and Bowen at Will. They did that in the second half. Or it looked like back-to-back series with three linebackers in the package.
Okay, yeah. Harold, $10 Super Chat said, and Jelly looked really good. Does this set up a quarterback controversy for next year? I highly doubt it. But like we said going into this game, and Jelly was a good little audition for him, whether it's, you know, really, really for anyone, for Notre Dame in 2025, if he doesn't leave before next season, or you know, for another Power Five program to look at him. So we'll see. But I think that Notre Dame knows what they have in Steve Angeli, or at least they think they know. Based on having him in the program for a couple of years. But I think it definitely, Notre Dame is going to be very hopeful that they're going to have Angeli as a QB2, because if you have Steve Angeli as your QB2 for 2024. I mean, that's as good as you're going to absolutely hope for in a backup quarterback. So, yeah, he looked good. Tim, I don't know if you had anything to add on that, and then we'll go quickly to Trash. $5 Super Chat said, media bias against Notre Dame is gross. We have missing players, too. Thank you very much, Trash. I know you always like to comment about the bias and the media about Notre Dame. We're just here to talk ball. But appreciate the $5. Did you have anything you wanted to add on Harold Super Chat, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Angeli should not transfer. He's a solid number two. We saw that this year. We saw what he could do when he gets in. He's efficient. Gino Guduli, that's number one on my little note right here. Give him a high five. It's going back to what we talked about in our Wednesday night show.
Yeah.
You know Steve Angeli. He's been with him for an entire season. Spring ball winner, blah, 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 blah. He knows what he could do. The game plan for him was outstanding. Rolling him out, moving the pocket.
Yeah.
Keepers, Mike, he did zone reads today, which was so nice to see a quarterback at Notre Dame do that. Is he a blazer? No, but he's efficient enough.
May I interrupt you?
Yeah, go for it.
May I interrupt you? Jimmy, thanks for your $2 Super Chat. You have clowned Steve a little bit. You know, maybe not clowned, but you kind of make some remarks about his speed, you know, kind of jabbing me a little bit. He showed some burst that I didn't even think he had. Like he did run the ball well. Maybe doesn't need to stop hurdling. It's it's fine. They recovered it. It doesn't matter. It's like a drop pick. There was no pick, so it's fine. We'll just forget about it. But he did look good running the ball, Tim. That's something that I didn't think he had in him looking like that. Like he had some burst.
I mean, the quarterback, I mean, when he fumbled, you know, obviously, like you're saying, he's jumping around, hurtling, you know, thinking he's, you know, Lamar Jackson, but that's okay. Hey, what was it? What was it? Second and 15, he gets 13 or what? 14, whatever it was. And then there's the couple zone read keepers were unbelievable. They called a couple quarterback draws. It was him. The biggest part of the game was just him just moving out of the pocket, doing some little dumps.
Yeah.
A couple of the early pass plays they set up with the motion, the crossers, his patience in the pocket drove me nuts on the two sacks because I'm screaming, get rid of the damn football. But his patience obviously helped him with the crosser to Thomas, another one, I think it was to Greathouse. He was solid. He was unbelievable. I mentioned the other day, I hope he wins the MVP. I'm sure he's the MVP of the game. He was.
No, Faison got it.
Are you kidding me?
Well, his catches.
Well, let's go. I mean, let's just jump into him. His catches were unbelievable. But
he looked good.
You can't catch the ball, Mike, unless his dime dropped right into you. That one, and their slot fades. They run a lot of those slot fades, which were outstanding. I mean, the very first touchdown, the way they, it's a smash route. They got reared in the corner and they hit dump it to Thomas. It was a great play. But Faison's the whip route. But the whip route, the last touchdown he did, where she goes out and comes back in. That's an audible. If people go back and rewatch that play, that's an audible by Steve Angeli. So he's out there audibling, checking out of it because they brought everyone and their mother on that blitz.
All right.
Angeli checks it, dumps it.
Yeah.
I'm a little bummed that he didn't get the MVP.
All right. You know what? You know what, Tim? The MVP, that's why people always are like, why is someone not ranked a 5-star? They got this award. I'm like, award is just some other subjective thing. Like, awards don't really mean anything. So how about this? Blue and Gold is naming Steve Angeli the Sun Bowl MVP. He's the Blue and Gold MVP for the game. So you guys tweet that out. Steve Angeli, the Blue and Gold MVP for the Sun Bowl. Oh, there you go, folks.
Faison was
great.
It was outstanding. The catch that he did was the one slot fade was a beautiful pass. From Angeli, boom, right into the, you know, the bucket right there. It was great. So, Faison had a nice game. I think I saw the graphic on CBS. They had what Faison and Thomas combined, the most receiving yards, two wide receivers for the Irish in a bowl game. So that's great to see.
All right. So, Tim, I was sweating during the game a little bit with my prize picks for this game.
Oh, boy.
This is our Friday show is when we talk about my prize picks. We do the show with Kyle Kelly, our recruiting update video. Well, obviously we're not doing that one today. We got this this post game show, but we are still going to hear from our sponsor for today's show when it is prize picks, where you have an entry and you pick 2 to 6 players. And if they're going to go more or less than their prize pick projections, you can win 25 times your money on any entry or even potentially more. You choose 2 players from any sport. You got football, basketball, college and pros, for men's and women's basketball, NASCAR, MMA, cricket, soccer, just about anything. You have a flex play where you can still win if one of your pick misses, or power plays, which has higher payouts, but you must get all of your picks right. They do fun weekly promotions like Taco Tuesday and then Flex Friday. And I'll show my Flex Friday pick that I had. And it did include this game. I thought about Tim going with the Angeli over 177 passing yards. But I did end up going with Bengal Branson, less than 183 passing yards. I was sweating, late in that game. And he ended up with 180. And now I need Dante DiVincenzo to have more than 10.5 points and assists combined. And then D'Anthony Melton in some NBA action tonight, more than 18.5 points and assists combined. So that's a flex play, $20 entry. If I hit 2 out of 3 correct, I get my money back plus $5. Go 3 for 3, get my money back plus $25. So it's a fun way to kind of stay connected with some of these basketball games and whatnot with the football season being over and, you know, give me something to watch. So, you guys can use the promo code BGI And you will receive a 100% instant deposit match of $100. So you want a little extra, you know, something to keep your attention during these college football playoff games and whatnot. Use the promo code BGI, 100% instant deposit match, up to $100. Check it out, prizepicks.com. All right, Tim. I wanted to go back to your point on Geno. Did you see things differently? Like, was there anything that really stood out to you that he did differently than we saw with Jared Parker? I think a lot of rollouts, moving the pocket, whatnot, that was definitely different. I felt like it was a lot more pistol than we're used to seeing. You mentioned the RPOs, but yeah, the pistol, I thought we saw a lot more than we did with Hartman, but I might be mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, pistol's in there. I mean, they run pistol a bunch. It's how they run duo. They ran pistol a lot with Reese. One thing that really stood out is they ran a lot more guard tackle counters, the old school GT. We saw that a bunch today. I mean, probably 6-7 times they ran that. So they must have saw something in film to be able to run counter on them. They got stuffed a few times, and then when it hits, and they had a few of those. But you know what? You got a quarterback coach that knows his quarterback and just wanted to do a few different things. He wanted to move the pocket, which you move the pocket. You don't move the pocket with Blake Fisher and Joe Alt. They're just going to stand out there. There's no need to. So today right. You got Josh Baker, Charles Jagasaw, a true freshman who looks sloppy at times, and then he looks unbelievable at times because that's a freshman who just started practicing basically a couple weeks ago, right? Because he's coming off an injury. Tosh Baker, I was very, very excited about him. I thought he had some outstanding blocks. There's one outside zone play that got stuffed, but he just pancakes the living heck out of a dude, smashes him. Charles had a big block on one of the big runs on one of the touchdown ones I saw. But that's why they moved the pocket, was just to get Angeli out there so those tackles aren't sitting up, because that, once again, Oregon State's strength was their pass rush. But It was a few nice wrinkles to attack Oregon State and to limit what Notre Dame did. I thought Gino Guidulli was outstanding today doing that, limiting the negatives for Notre Dame today.
As much as I am impressed with Angeli in the game today, and you know, I thought Gino did call a really good game. Like, I don't think, you know, there's any reason to just like take the like. You don't overreact too hard on it. Like, Gino is not, you know, the next insert, you know, a prolific offensive quarter name here. And Angeli, you know, we don't need to start the Heisman campaign for Angeli yet. Like, it was a Sun Bowl against a depleted Oregon State team, but those guys did what you wanted them to do and then more. Like, Angeli was outstanding. Some discrepancy on his yardage, like the, what I've been popping up on the screen says 14 of 18 for 212. The broadcast said 15 of 19 for 232. I tend to agree with the 232. I just think that sounds better. So we're gonna go with that. But yeah, Angeli was fantastic. Didn't dink and dunk the whole time either, Tim. How about him having some shots downfield? I'm sure you liked that. Another thing you always would tease me about.
Yeah, I'm on the. I'm on the ESPN app's got 15 and 19 for 232. That's what the ESPN one has. Once again, you know, those balls to Faison, the post to Faison, it's just an, you know, inch behind him, or that would have been a touchdown on the post. Nice play call on the play action down there, the play on third down right before Payne got stuffed an inch short of the one to Raritan, right there for Raritan to get, you know, a touchdown. You know, and he just didn't come up with it. But, Angeli did some really, really – nice things, you know, a little slow, mechanical at times, but I think that's just him. I think that's just his mannerisms out there. He's very calm. The announcers talked about that. You could see his calmness, his relaxation out there reading things. He was nice. And this is why, you know, instantly it's like, well, if he's not starting, he leaves. All right. Well, if Riley Leonard, once again, stubs his toe and he's got to miss a half, who's the backup quarterback? So I think Angeli goes into that spring. I mean, I hope he doesn't leave. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Who knows, right? And nowadays in college football, you have no clue. I hope he doesn't leave, because he is a solid number two quarterback that could go in there and help Notre Dame win games.
How about this headline? This headline back from February 2022. What makes Notre Dame quarterback Steve Vangelis so calm, cool, and collected? I mean, I've been throwing the three C's at him for a while because he's. I would also throw in a fourth C. He's confident. He's definitely confident in his ability. So yeah, the Angeli watch all offseason is going to be fascinating because, you know, you remember that that photo of him, Buckner, Pine, and Hartman. You remember that? Two guys at that table. You had Pine transfer out for greener pastures. That didn't work. Buckner transferred out for greener pastures. That didn't work. Both of those guys sitting back at the, you know, the Chipotle table in South Bend or wherever they were. I do have to wonder, like, does Angeli see that and think, you know, maybe I do stick it out? Or is he like, no, I'm betting on myself. I don't know. Or does he bet on himself at Notre Dame? It's going to be fascinating. We're going to talk Steve Angeli all off season. And of course, we'll talk about as well.
Well, the quote, you know, once going back to the announcers asked Steve, why didn't you transfer? And he was just like, I like Notre Dame. I mean, I'm here. I'm the next guy. All, you know, all those things we're talking about. So this obsession of, well, you got to start, you got to start, you got to start. Well, man, you're, you know, as a coach, it's always like you're still one play away.
Yeah, they get the Mac Jones comparison too.
Exactly. You're still one play away. Heck, hey, I'm a SoCal guy. Miller Moss from USC.
Yeah.
Grew up just a few houses down where I was a head football coach for a decade. Unbelievable family, unbelievable young man. Went to Alamany and then COVID, just like Tyler Buckner. Got his senior year yanked away. Miller Moss, he goes out there and throws for 6 touchdowns. And all that's been the talk throughout the west side of Los Angeles is, when's Miller Moss transferring? And he was like, I'm at USC. What the hell I want to transfer for? It's like, eventually it's me. And now 5-star Malachi Nelson leaves. You know, looks like he could be the guy next year. So you just never know. And sometimes it's okay to sit where you are and just bide your time. And eventually you're a guy. Look at, for crying out loud, look at Tosh Baker today. Baker has a 5th year and a 6th year left. He could be Notre Dame starting right tackle for 2 seasons instead of just transferring. He's the senior. He's a class of 2020. He could graduate. He could be a grad transfer, but he's waited, and now he started today. He kicked butt today, and who knows what his future holds. So there's plenty of players that could do that. So not everybody, just because you're a backup, automatically goes to transfer portal. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, look, just real quick, KJ Wallace. KJ Wallace, the Notre Dame guy a couple years ago, I just saw today on Twitter, is transferring after being at Georgia Tech. So he's going to go to his 3rd school. He started, for crying out loud, this year. They just won a bowl game and he's transferring. So
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. You know, it's something we've talked about. It's like when you're going into your junior year, and I'm focused on Notre Dame here, from what we have seen, when you go into your junior year, it's like, am I starting? Cool. I'm here. If not, I'm dipping. Like, that's what we've kind of seen as the trend. So I would like to see Angeli buck that trend. Selfishly, for sure, I would like to see him, you know, not leave, because, you know, I just kind of have enjoyed following his career in South Bend. But also, I think it could be good for him because Leonard, it's not like, you know, knock on wood, everyone, but it's not like Leonard has a clean bill of health, you know, for his, you know, playing time at Duke.
I mean, let's spend 30 seconds on the 2 transfers that left. They're coming back, for crying out loud, to get a Notre Dame degree after being gone a semester. So going to your point, is it always better just because you leave? No.
There's
one of those 2 guys could easily be the starting quarterback for Notre Dame in 2024, and they're not.
Yeah. Yeah, ND Dan here says, it's called developing. Leaf for greener pastures doesn't always work out. I was about to say, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Tim, a few super chats. Eric says, is Faison a star in the making, or is he just taking advantage of the thin wide receiver depth chart? I think both. I think that he kind of helped break, like, the thin depth chart helped break him into the rotation that we saw against Louisville, and I think he is a star in the making.
Yes, and it goes back to camp. Kyle Kelly and Tyler Horka constantly were talking about, there's so many posts on the message board from those 2, you know, writers for Blue and Gold. Oh my God, this walk-on's out here tearing it up. And it's like, okay, cool. You know, a nice little walk-on. And then by Louisville, yeah, you're right. There's injuries. He has to play. And I think we saw that with Thomas being out for as long as he was. If he was healthy all year, it's a different offense for Notre Dame. They got a legitimate wide receiver, but Faison just kept working his way up. I saw someone in the chat earlier said, oh, he should have been starting all year. He didn't get to school till August 1st, so he should not have been starting all year. It took him 2 months to get caught up. And once he did, his speed, I'm telling you, everybody out there, if you've yet to see his highlight film, go watch his senior highlight film. It is all him playing Wildcat, running around like a wet noodle rolling down a, you know, wall. He's all over the place, and he is fun to watch. So it's all of those. It's injuries, and he's definitely a star because he's got unbelievable playmaking ability. He can make plays on the ball, yeah. And that has been badly missing at Notre Dame the last few years.
Yeah, it's interesting because he feels like when he has the ball in his hands, he's more of a one cut and go guy. He's not going to make a ton of people miss in a phone booth. So he that was kind of Chris Tyree as well, but his receiving skills overall just seem better than Tyree's. Like, he seems like Tyree to me, but a better receiver.
And a freshman. He's got three years ahead. Yes. Yes. That was real quick when Tyree left. Everyone was like panicking. Oh, they're going to be fine. They got more than enough guys. And the fact that Faison went out and did what he did today, that's awesome.
Keith Graham with the 14 says, Faison, thanks for a great season, guys. Yeah, thank you very much, Keith, for the super chat and the support, my friend. Jeff Hoy says, I see a peanut butter NIL endorsement for Angeli coming down the pike. Any thoughts on that, Mr. Singer? Yeah, let's get GIF on the line. Right, that's the peanut butter brand. Yeah, let's get them on the line. Listen, this is the thing. Like, if Angeli would have stunk it up, everyone's like, Singer, you're an idiot. Like, he stinks. And Angeli does really well today. And there's a lot of Singer, like, he's him, bro. You were right. I'm like, I don't know. This is one game. Let's calm down a little bit. Like, if you thought I was gonna come on here and have a victory lap, it was more of like a victory spin. You know, it's just a quick little 360 spin. And just, you know, gave Tim a little something. You know. But otherwise, yeah, I don't think you call up Riley Leonard and tell him to go back home. You know, like, come on. You won both.
No, exactly, because Riley Leonard went – I mean, Riley Leonard's got a cannon for an arm and fast as could be. So, but what Angeli did today is shows he could go out there and do things. He can do some things. And this is once again, just real quick to even give Angeli a couple more little mini high fives is this wide receiver room is obviously what is it? They're top four guys all left, right? All the top guys. And you still got the best, one of the premier tight ends in the country got injured and he was missing. So you got, Raritan, who's been injured 2 years in a row, playing his butt off. You got Flanagan out there a ton. They still did a ton of 12 personnel. Sherwood's out there rolling around, but even the wide receivers, they were still limited. We didn't see Colsey. We didn't see K.K. Smith, which that's all we've heard about all December. It was Faison, Greathouse, Thomas, and Salerno. Hell of a – by the way, the slant to Salerno was unbelievable as well. Great catch by him. So he did some really good pocket.
He stepped up in the pocket real nice on that one too. He had plenty of time, but the pocket did start to clap. Maybe that step up fired Yeah, O-line did well today. I think, the offense was clicking. That was a nice win for the Irish. Now, the whole thing about, like, this just gives you all of the momentum going in the offseason. I think you feel good for about a week, and it's like, oh, yeah, we lost to Louisville on the road, and we lost to Clemson, and, I think reality starts to creep back in a little bit. But yeah, it was a nice outing by Steve.
Exactly. It's all momentum and unless they lose the A&M. So who gives a damn, right? It's like, it's a nice way to end this season.
Yeah, it was.
And real quick, just a couple, I threw out a few stats the other day, and especially in our little preview show that came out yesterday is I went back, man, this is a wild stat. And Marcus Freeman today is one back-to-back, playoff game. Jeez, Tim, I wish. Back-to-back bowl games against ranked teams. The last time, this is crazy for everyone listening, the last time a Notre Dame coach has won back-to-back bowl games was Holtz in 91, 92, 93 in the bowl game. It hasn't happened since. That is a crazy stat of where Notre Dame, going back to Notre Dame fans starving for a quarterback, an OC, high-tech offense, all those things. It's like we've been in this.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just this, you know, what is it? Not the DMZ. Everyone's talking about. Oh my God, I can't even think where all the I was in there in Mogadishu for crying out loud. No man's land. There you go.
Yeah.
No man's land for 30 years. And that shows you right there when you haven't even won back-to-back bowl games over ranked opponents, because that's kind of tells you when Notre Dame's been in the big games, they got their butts kicked. And the other bowl games that Brian Kelly won were all like the middle of the tier ones. And of course, Marcus Freeman has, but they're ranked teams. And that's a cool little kudos thing for Marcus Freeman.
It is. Everyone in the chat yelling at me for about 10 wins. Listen, I've been saying that too, but listen, you guys are Notre Dame fans. You guys don't, it's not about 10 wins. You guys tell me that all the time. So
it's nice.
I'm with you there. That was something that Tim and I have talked about for a couple weeks now.
Yes.
But I mean, come on, at the end of the day, it's not about 10 wins. Couple super chats more to go. But let's first hear from our sponsors over at My Perfect Franchise. And I do have to ask you guys a couple of questions as we do that. And they are you a displaced corporate executive wanting to put your career in your own hands? Or are you an experienced entrepreneur wanting to diversify? If you're saying yes to any of these questions, Andy Ludicky can help you out. He is a huge college sports fan and franchise veteran, having owned multiple franchises and businesses. And using Andy's expertise, he's going to help you find your American dream through a very thorough consultation and evaluation process. Give Andy a call at 404-973-9901 to put your life and career in your own hands. And best of all, his services are 100% free to you. So what do you have to lose? Find your perfect franchise at myperfectfranchise.net. Give Andy a call at 404-973-9901. Michael with the 10, he says, good way to end the season. Thanks for the great coverage this season. Greetings from Germany to all Notre Dame fans all over the world. Happy New Year. Michael, thank you very much, my friend. It's late over there. Get some sleep. Thank you for tuning in. Tyler Fisher said the offensive play calling and flow seemed better than had all season. Thoughts? I think so, but part of it is, you know, Oregon State was bad. I mean, you know, it's part of it. You know, I'm not trying to counterbalance too much, but, you know, Oregon State was also bad, but the play calling was, you know, it did feel like it had a good flow. But again, it will have a good flow if, you know, you can kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I mean, we could say Oregon State was bad, but their strength of their football team is their front, and those guys all played. And I thought Notre Dame offensive line just played their tails off there. You know, they had some opt outs as well. And, you know, but it's just one of those games. I think moving forward, if Notre Dame's not in the playoffs and they're in games like this, this is what we're going to see. We're going to see a bunch of opt outs. We're going to see a bunch of guys playing, a bunch of first time guys, which we did see today. We saw a lot of guys having huge roles. I know Clarence Lewis has played, he's been in the program, but he didn't play a lot because Harper was the stud nickel. So he had to come aboard. And just, oh, my God, Mike, I can't believe we haven't even mentioned this. How about kudos to Mr. Mickey for losing his mother yesterday? Oh, my God, it's been on my mind. Losing his mom and then coming out there 24 hours later and just playing his butt off. Seriously, playing his butt off. Just, you can't, you know, unbelievable for that young man, just probably being around his team, being all around that. He knew his mom's been in hospice, so all those things. So, you know, you hate to say it's a shock and all that. It's losing anyone. It always is. But, man, I couldn't imagine being a 20-year-old young man playing out there in a bowl game and, you know, losing your mom. So kudos to him who played his butt off. So
yeah,
I'll go from there.
Yep. Thoughts and prayers with the Mickey family. A family I've gotten to know and really outstanding people, and including Miss Mickey. So definitely rest in peace for her and prayers with the family. Tim D says Faison is a classic slot guy, fast enough to be a deep threat at times, perfect possession type of receiver in the 5 to 15 yard range.
Yeah. He's going to be one of those guys. You're just going to, the whip route for the touchdown is a perfect example. It's just a little 5 yard dump, make a move. That's the difference between him and Tyree. Tyree had a solid career at Notre Dame, did a lot of good things, but he was never the catch it, make a guy move guy. He just wasn't. And he wasn't that as a running back. Same thing with Jeremiah Love today, catching that flat route, puts 1 foot down, makes a move, scores a touchdown. These are some of the guys that Notre Dame has, it's going to be playing more and more of a role that could break it on a dime. And, they're going to have some of those guys. Someone says, where was Greathouse? Greathouse was out there, played a ton. Greathouse is the intermediate possession guy. He's not going to run by guys and go the fades and the slot fades like a Faison can. So solid football player who's going to catch a lot of passes for the Irish.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we had one more super chat queued up. Tyler Fisher said Irish by 30 over A&M, dumpster fire in College Station. Well, Tyler Fisher, from your lips to God's ears. Okay, Tim. How about we do a little film time? This is not something we usually do, but I'm kind of YOLO these days, man. Just let it loose. Let's just see what happens. So Steve Angeli hitting Jordan Faison for a big gain. This was the first offensive play for Notre Dame on the day, if I recall correctly. Tell us what you see on this one.
Throw it to the fast guy. That was the first thing I saw. It. Get it to the guy that can run. That's what makes good offensive coordinators, right? Get it to the – it makes good quarterback play.
A little bit of busted coverage.
Exactly. But that's the motion. They didn't do the check properly, all those things. So, you know what? And this could have happened on the other side, but it didn't. When you're talking about opt-outs and things of that nature, I'm going to try and get away from that and just talk about the actual play of what we saw. And that's a hell of a football play. It's a hell of a call, hell of a setup to try and get Faison one-on-one on someone. So, a busted play and go make a big play.
Yeah, I was feeling really good. I thought about you on this play. I was like, man, you know what? Dink and dunk Angeli, just 55 yards on the first play of the game. I loved it, Steve.
No, Tim. Exactly.
I did love it, Steve, and Tim. I also loved it.
No, I mean, but his dinking and dunk, which he threw I was surprised he didn't do more RPOs. He only threw the 1 5-yard out route, which he's really good slinging it, with some of those. But overall, I just keep going back to, I thought Gino did a hell of a job knowing the strengths of Angeli. And I think we saw so many of those today. So that's, that was what it was exciting overall as the game got going,
Okay. And then later on, later on that drive, it was a long drive.
Thomas
Angeli has, let's see, who's at the bottom of the screen there? I can't tell, but he's got Raritan in the top of the screen in the slot. Looks like Jaden Thomas. I think this is Faison, and maybe this is Jaden Greathouse at the bottom of the screen. So he has three receivers in a small area, but makes the right read here. Four, actually, with the running back, Jabran Payne, but finds Jaden Thomas on a little sit-down route coming inside. Yep. Makes a nice play.
No, exactly. It's, whatever you want to call that thing. It's a scout route. You got three-man route. You got the flat. You got the quick little hitch. And then it's, boom, you got the corner up top. He could have easily thrown the corner for a touchdown, but Thomas comes open so fast. Touchdown right there. So it was it was really nice to see Thomas today. I mean, we haven't seen him in ages. So the fact that he caught some nice passes, was running fast, looked athletic, like back to his old self, was he blazing? Was he in shape and things of that nature? He probably didn't give it a big go until recently, just to keep that hamstring, loose, getting that thing, warmed up for this game. But man, it was really nice to see him today. So,
all right. And then probably both of our favorite plays of the game, was the Angeli dime to Faison, and we won't show the tighter angle where it started to bounce between Faison and the DB a few times, but to get the ball there, it was a really heck of a throw by Steve Angeli. And they do love throwing these wheel routes, or the slot fades, I should say.
Slot fades, man. This has been – they have – I mean, they threw these to Michael Mayer last year. Reese would call these with Mayer and just beat one-on-one coverage. It's a great play against – man, because, you know, because you're pushing it right to that sideline so that safety can't get over the top and help and man free and things of that nature. So it's a nice – I mean, this is a hell of a throw. Seriously. I like to say dink and dunk. All those things. Hey, speaking of that, we didn't see any screens. I thought people would be losing their minds today because Parker didn't call enough, so we didn't see any screens today. So, you know, it's
not a ton of play action either. Now I'm thinking about that. I don't
just a couple little small subtle things, nothing major, and whatnot. So
there was that like double play action where Raritan almost came in that touchdown, but otherwise it wasn't.
Yeah,
super.
Yeah, that was a nice play because he was right there. Nice little one-on-one play he had. But this is a hell of a throw, man. It's a hell of a catch. That's a darn good football play right there. And you got, you know, a sophomore throwing it to a true freshman. That's pretty nice. There's so many young guys out there. I mean, even the O-line. It's like Billy Shrout's a redshirt freshman. You know, it's like same with Ashton Craig and a true freshman in Charles Jagasaw. You know, people are like, well, why didn't, you know, people were thinking, why didn't, Charles get more reps? And Charles came into camp after an injury. So he wasn't even healthy until middle of the season to get himself ready to roll. So he must have had a heck of a practice, a heck of a, you know, bowl training camp here to earn that spot. I thought he did good. He got beat on one spin move. I rewatched it five times. I'm like, oh, that's just their guy who has 9 sacks in the Pac-12 doing a spin move on Charles. But Angeli got rid of the ball on that one. So other than that, I thought he did good. They did a good job just riding those ends out, giving Angeli some time and going back to, once again, I was impressed with Baker. Really looking forward to going back and rewatching the, you know, the big five up there. And it was nice to see them just play. Boom, you're the five in this game. Go play. Go play, go play, go play. And that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's hear from our third sponsor for today's show, and that is Home Field Apparel, an amazing collegiate clothing line based out of Indianapolis, and they have some officially licensed and comfortable clothing, and their designs are fantastic, especially for folks watching on YouTube. You see these Notre Dame designs. They are fantastic. Really shows the authenticity and nostalgia of your Fighting Irish football program that you love. So they actually have licenses to over 150 colleges. So get yourself some home field gear. And then, you know, if your wife's a grad of a different school, you know, maybe get her something too. You can gift something to someone and then also sneak yourself in a gift. That's what you got to do these days. And when you use the promo code BLUEGOLD23, you'll get 15% off your first order with Home Field. It's a site that is easy to shop to find the perfect college gear you need to complete your game day outfit. So be prepared for the fall or heck, the spring. You know, I'll be rocking my tennis sweatshirt to all of the Notre Dame tennis matches. You already know it. So head to homefieldapparel.com, use the promo code BLUEGOLD23 and receive 15% off your first purchase. I was actually wearing this Notre Dame baseball tee you know, just yesterday. Some really good stuff at Home Field. I love it. I know Goolsby has loved his gear as well. You know, he loves rocking that Sam Hartman shirt. So check it out. Use the promo code BLUEGOLD23. Continuing on, Tim, with a couple more, you know, plays that were notable from this game. How about Angeli to Faison again? And this was that beautiful little, you know, you think he's going out, cuts in. Look at Faison at the bottom of your screen right here. Let's see. You can only see it there. Like he's about, like he's facing the sideline, and then swivels back inside, and you know, got the speed to get in the end zone. And yeah, it was a really nice pitch and catch here for you know, a touchdown for the Irish.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great – and this was the audible. and jelly audibles into this play, which I thought was very impressive. So he's checking the sideline. Freeman's losing his hair because he's saying, hurry up. You can see him a handful of times doing that after they got that second delay of game. And which is a real quick. Yeah, I heard the announcers talking about some of those clocks, man. They must have got those things rocking because they caught Notre Dame off guard a few times. But no, that's a heck of a route. Nice audible, all-out blitz. No one's in the middle of the field. Call the whip route and piece of cake right there. So that was, that was a heck of a play.
And then one more that I really liked, Tim, was Steve Angeli lowering the shoulder. this was pretty good. Nothing going. Shows off the little agility and speed. Maybe not so much agility, speed there. And then trucks forward, adds a couple more yards. That's kind of one of those things. It's your first start. Your adrenaline's going. You're going to lower the shoulder, of course. I think on the next time he did that, he did slide. But liked what we saw here from Steve getting outside the puck and everything. And then, the CBS pans over to Sam Hartman. And I love this tweet from Goolsby. And this was early in the game. He said, in terms of a broadcast, Sam Hartman equals Taylor Swift, which had me crying laughing. And I told my wife I was watching the game with, I said, the difference between Sam Hartman and Taylor Swift is that Sam could have been playing in the game. Taylor is just there to support her boyfriend. And she's not asking to be shown, Sam Hartman could have been playing in the game. What's the big difference between these two? But
I'm glad he did.
Nice little different in the show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just glad. I'm glad he didn't play. I'm so glad he didn't play. I've been saying that for 3 weeks. I'm glad he didn't play. It was nice to see Angeli out there getting his thing in this game, and it was awesome. It was awesome to see.
Yeah. So I'm just looking through. I did think Jaden Thomas looked fantastic. Like that Jaden Thomas, I don't think you need him to be your number one receiver, but as a number two, that he just – when I see him and he's lined up next to the tight end, he kind of does some H-back type stuff. Like I get Larry Fitzgerald vibes from him. Not saying he's going to be Larry Fitzgerald, but just that, like the way he plays, I love me some Jaden Thomas. Thought it was really good to see him bounce back. I was disappointed with no Deon Colsey. Don't know why he didn't play. I expected him to do so. And I just didn't see him out there. So
it's very, still
very strange.
Yeah, I'll say with Colsey. I mean, he hasn't played, but Navy, Tennessee State, it's been that long. So, they went with the healthy guys. They went with the guys that have been ready to roll for so long. Putting Colsey out there, what would he have done that the others didn't? I guess especially they still did a lot of 12 personnel, hammered the rock 40-something times. In the game, which was the first time all season they've hit that 40-yard threshold, so that was nice. But overall, I think they just played the guys that they did. And real quick on the defense, man, Oregon State had one third down. I think at the end of the game they finally completed one, right?
Right.
One third down, 1 or 2 yards rushing. I'm so glad they gave him the safety because that dude did not get that ball out of the damn end zone. It's like, come on. Great catch by their guy to get a touchdown. But defense was just all over the place because you don't know in a bowl game, even though they have some young guys. And you mentioned this the other day, Mike, like, Notre Dame, obviously Jagasaw and Baker aren't starting, but they're both pretty elite, college football recruits going into the game where Oregon State doesn't, they don't recruit the Charles Jagasaws. They're a development, boom, work your way in over 3 years. And that was the difference. The defensive line for Notre Dame just overwhelmed them. Rubio had play, Heinisch, obviously. I thought Baptiste and J.D. Bertrand were just the two stars in the first half. At least watching it live, seeing their numbers. And that was nice to see two old dudes out there running around that they're going to All-Star games. They're both got selected to go to the, to an All-Star game. So exciting for them that they played their butts off today.
All right, a tweet from Notre Dame that I'll read for you, Tim. That makes seven – you kind of touched on this. That makes seven AP-ranked wins in his first two seasons at Notre Dame for Marcus Freeman, which is the most for any Irish head coach after his first two seasons. Terry Brennan had six in 1954 and 1955.
Let me say this. I'm one of those guys that sits around sometimes and something comes across on Twitter or even on the message board. I'm like, oh man, I got an idea. And one of those was ranked opponents, because this has been the big talking thing. You know, Parker stinks against ranked opponents, the offense and stuff like that. So I just went all the way back to Bob Davie. And I just wanted to see every game Notre Dame has played against a ranked team, whether you're number 25 or number two in the rankings. Mike, going all the way back to 1997, today, Marcus Freeman, by winning this game, they're 3-2 this year against ranked teams. Ranked when you play. So I don't worry about the end of the season rankings. The only season, this is a crazy Notre Dame stamp for everybody. The only seasons since 1997 where the Notre Dame football team has had a winning record against ranked teams is 2002. Obviously, the great defense that year. Charlie Weiss's first year, 2005. So you got Willingham's first year, Weiss's first year, Brian Kelly's, the national title runs of 12-18. 2020, they finished 2-2. So, and then Marcus Freeman in 2022 and 2023 has a winning record against ranked teams. I found that fascinating. Once again, the last coach to do that was Lou Holtz. So, scratching our head, we're banging our head when you hear 10 on the field against Ohio State. Why the hell did you lose to Marshall and Stanford last year? Some just pull, you know, Louisville, who looked like a junior college football program the other night, atrocious in that Holiday Bowl, making Miller Moss look like a Heisman winner for USC. How the heck did Notre Dame lose that game? All these things people are going crazy on.
Any given Saturday.
But there's still so many. There's good things going on. Now, can this rookie head coach take all these things that really have not been – I mean, there's things he's doing that Brian Kelly didn't do. Now, obviously, he's inherited a solid football program on good standing, and he's recruiting off of that and bringing in good guys. But there's a lot of good things that are happening in the 2 years.
Yep.
Can he get him into the 12, Mike? It's year three. That is going to be the only damn thing that matters next
year.
If you're not in the final 12 – it's going to be hard to spin that. It just is.
Yeah. He's like, there's a lot of things that are like that stat we just popped off the screen. My favorite stat about the recruiting of three straight top 10 classes, something that Notre Dame hasn't done since 06, 08. Like there's a lot of things like that, but sorry, you got to start translating this and taking it to the next level. Yes. So that's going to be something that's important. Antoine Gates says Colsey played Singer. So I'll have to take your word for it. I don't remember seeing him. But I'm sure we'll see the snap count afterwards from Pro Football Focus. Tim, one thing I did say going in this game, I was like, I think Notre Dame is going to pound the rock. They have really good running backs, and the interior of the line is so solid. Price and Love were very good. The numbers for both of those guys, Jadarian Price, 13 carries for 106 yards. Love didn't, Love only carried 15 times for 39 yards, wasn't it? But we know Jordan or Jeremiah Love is a darn good back. Jabran Payne, I love his wiggle. He can make you miss in a phone booth. 6 carries, 24 yards. Then Devin Ford, 4 for 30. It was really nice to see those guys. Shout out to Chase Ketterer as well. Carry for 6 yards and got into the end zone. But those two running backs, and then Tim, Ashton Craig and Pat Coogan are outstanding. And those two guys, when they were recruits, right? Pat Coogan is in the class with Blake Fisher and Rocco Spindler. Those are the headliners. Then even Caleb Johnson, who Notre Dame flipped from Auburn. He never saw the field of Notre Dame. He transferred out. Joe Alt was in the 2021 class. Your boy Singers is singing Alt's praises. Coogan was kind of the forgotten man, and he's going to be the last man standing from the 2021 group, of course, with Fisher and all going to the NFL. But like Coogan is going to be two more years starting maybe at Notre Dame. I think his eligibility, 1 year, because he's in the 2021 class. I think he's only got 1 year left.
Yeah, but he redshirted, so he can be.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, just two. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So we'll see if you'd use both of those years, but Coogan's outstanding. Ashton Craig in the 2022 class, the headliners, Emil Wagner, you know, Craig was the three-star from the Indy area who Notre Dame kind of uncovered late. He didn't start blowing up until before senior year of high school. So not marquee players in Coogan and Craig, but guys who, when you go into 2024, are locked-in starters and two of the best players on the offense. So absolutely love to see that. And then, hey, a $50 super chat from Irish Fan 10, thank you very much. Very, very generous. Says, cheers, fellas. Great win. And what a way to bring in the new year. Oh, by the way, speaking of the new year, is it August 31st, 2024 yet? No, not yet, Irish Fan 10. We'll definitely get there. It'll be here before we get it. But thank you very much for the generous super chat. So, Tim, anything on this super chat? And then, talk about the O-line.
Yeah, August 31st, that's the next countdown. Notre Dame doesn't have to wait till game five to play their Super Bowl. Their Super Bowl is going to be immediately. Someone mentioned earlier, it's a dumpster fire of a program. Yeah, they have 30 dudes out. But Mike Elko could coach. He's a hell of a football coach. They got, Klein from K-State, who's a heck of a football coach. And it's A&M. So, meaning they got some cash. And they will probably go out and get some portal dudes, and they will be a heck of a football team in game one. First game, that place is going to be rocking. It's going to be unbelievable atmosphere. It's going to be wild and crazy. It's going to be a night game, so it's going to be loud as hell. So just get ready for that. So there's no gimme. Notre Dame is going to be a preseason, will they be a top 10? Maybe. They're going to be like this year, that 10 to 15-ish, I believe. Because Freeman has a 4-loss and a 3-loss. So, what is the hype going to be on him going into next year? So they're going to be that 10 to 15 range. Just beat A&M. Who gives a damn about the score? Because the schedule next year is a lot of cupcakes. Got to win that damn game and just handle business moving forward. And real quick on the O-line, Coach Rudolph has done a hell of a job. I mean, he had open competition, and Rocco Spindler and Pat Coogan were left for dead and came in and just started this season. Beat out dudes ahead of them, which goes to show you how competitive they were and the coaching that he did. And then in this game, like the strength, that's why I thought it was going to be a low. I thought Notre Dame was going to struggle to get 20-ish because I thought their D-line was going to just cause more havoc plays, and they didn't. And the O-line just was unbelievable today. And that just goes to Joe Rudolph, one of the best O-line coaches in the country. He showed it this year when they're a semifinalist, and they're going to – I mean, if this five stays together next year, they could go out and win football games. They're really strong in the interior. Jagasaw, once again, Charles Jagasaw has not had a winter conditioning. He's not been through the rigors of spring and the winter, which I'm saying that dude is an intense weightlifter. He's a high academic guy, meaning he's a high achiever. He never lost in wrestling in high school. So I'm sure he is eager to start kicking butt in that weight room. I see that guy being a 320-pound monster for the next few years on left tackle. Yeah, left tackle solid. Let's just throw that out there. It's done. So, and I know Notre Dame could win with Baker.
Yeah. And if not, they got Wagner. I mean, but maybe they still do go to the portal for another offensive tackle just to, add to that room. But, that which would make sense after losing two tackles to the pros. But, overall, dominant performance for Notre Dame, 448 yards to Oregon State's 197. And how about this? When you include sacks, Oregon State just had two rush yards. Now, sack adjusted rushing yards, they had 23, just 1.9 per carry. It was a dominant little performance by Notre Dame.
I'm going to look just to throw out a stat since I had no idea that was the numbers. With that stat, because now bowl games are included in the stats. That might be the lowest total yardage as a whole season. When you look at the 13 games since 1980, when it comes to total defense, the great 2012 game got devoured by Alabama, knocked their stats up high over three. I think they're 300 for the season. So Notre Dame came in today right under 270-ish, I think. So holding them where they are, I think the lowest total yardage for a defense since 1980, which is just like nuts. Nuts when you look at that.
Yeah, we had one more stat that I wanted to read you, Tim, before we get out of here. The 32-point win for Notre Dame is the largest margin of victory for the program in a bowl game. It bests the 28-point from the 2008 Hawaii Bowl over Hawaii. First safety for Notre Dame, also another stat. First safety for Notre Dame all year. And then if Notre Dame was going to get that shutout, I think that would have been the first shutout in program history in a bowl game. So
I know. And I'm like,
I know.
I've told you, man, it's like in coaching, as soon as you put the backups in and there's a couple first downs, you're like, oh my God, there goes the shutout. But it's like, hey, it happens. But no, that stat is, by the way, that Hawaii Bowl, that broke Notre Dame's, I think, nine game losing streak they had in a bowl game. Back then. Davey didn't win any. Willingham didn't win any. And Weiss with Jimmy Clausen throwing bombs to Floyd, Rudolph, and Tate. How about that? Beat Hawaii that night. So that was a fun day on Christmas.
A couple super chats. Brad says Riley Leonard, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks, 57% accuracy. Is he really starting caliber? Notre Dame says so. Look at 2022 when he was healthy the entire year, completed 64% of his passes, just under 3,000 yards, 20 touchdowns and 6 picks. If you just want to go on 2023, you got to look at 2022 as well. But Brad, really do appreciate the $5 super chat. And then Seth with 10, thank you very much. He says, hey guys, just want to say really enjoy your show. I appreciate your analysis. They are spot on. Especially yours, Mike. I'm not sure I agree with Tim all the time, but Seth, good. I really appreciate those kind words right there. And he also adds, not just some talking heads blowing smoke, go Irish. I added in a sentence there for podcast audience. I was just joking. But Seth Griffin, I really appreciate the super chats and appreciate the support, my friend. And then Drunken here says, Singer, were you bouncing off the walls watching your boy Angeli today? I'm not going to lie. When I watch the games, I don't cheer. I did a little bit today. I was so pumped. That 55-yarder to start the game, I did hoot and holler a little bit. I was pretty pumped. So
hey, I was cheering, and then I thought I was going to throw a glass against the wall when he took that one sack back 20 yards. I'm like, what the hell are you doing, dude? Come on. It's like
– it's a sack. They happen. You know what? I'll take a sack over a pick every day.
Oh, no, exactly. Of course they happen, but that's what I'm saying. The ups and downs. And then it was like, I was so excited because it's still his first start. There's all these 5 linemen that have never played together. There's so many good things that were going on. So, yeah, it was the good and the bad. I'm not saying that negatively. I was saying how excited I was. And this going to my point of I wanted Angeli to play. I'm so glad Hartman didn't play because it's this experience, this game was so much more important than had we had everyone play, even for Jagasaw and Tosh Baker. I was, when Alt makes sense, and even Fisher, I was cool with Fisher. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine with that. You're going to get drafted. The NFL likes him. He's not going to be some 6th round, mid round pick. He's going to go high because he's a Notre Dame offensive tackle. The NFL likes those guys. So that was fine with that because now you got these 5 guys who got a whole 15 practices in a game heading into the winter conditioning. So a lot more positives when you look at who the opt-outs were, which goes to Marcus Freeman in recruiting and just keep bringing in guys. So when it's not their time come, they play. Christian Gray, Bowen at linebacker. Christian Gray played a ton today and was outstanding. So Bubakar Traore didn't get in till the end, but my God, Mike, is he just unbelievable? I mean, he looks like he looks like Joe Alt out there, like his height. He just looks like a different dude. Where are they going to play him next year? Because he is going to be on the field. He's just a different-looking dude out there.
All right. Signing off with 2 Super Chats before we get out of here. First, Greg says, wait, didn't Singer want Hartman to play? God, no. I know. I don't want him to play all year. I'd much rather Steve play all year. But seriously, I just think that I was kind of fed a lie. That's been my point on the Hartman thing. But you can watch a different episode for that. Cindy, $5, says, first Super Chat. Thank you, Cindy. Thanks for a great year of Notre Dame coverage. 10-3. Very excited for next year. Go Irish. Very excited for next year, year 3 for Freeman. As Tim Hyde always says, it's a biggie. Thank you very much, Cindy. B Play says, it's great to see the young guys playing well. Angeli is a dude, Tim Hyde voice. 10 wins is a big deal for a young head coach. Young O-line has some size to it. Go Irish. B Place, appreciate you as well. Thank you, everyone, for the amazing support this season. Listen, to me, the season is not over. The season is really just beginning because we're shifting right into 2024. There's going to be so much to talk about this offseason. Recruiting, Notre Dame's 2025 class is in a really hot spot right now. So if you're like dabbling and wanting to follow recruiting a little bit, Blue and Gold is definitely going to be your place to be. There's going to be a lot to discuss with 2025 class. And maybe junior day that's around the corner.
Yeah,
junior day.
Junior day setting up. It's like, boom, guys are already like, hey, yeah, I'm going to be here on that Saturday. You know, so that's already blowing.
Yeah,
up.
During the text, I got during the game. Excuse me, I got a text from a big time 2025 receiver who told me he's going to be in Notre Dame next month. So I got to write that up tomorrow morning. So lots going on right now. And again, it's not the end of the season. It's really more about the start and the continuation kind of moving forward for Notre Dame. Starting three, so last super chat, would Notre Dame be in the playoffs if Fangeli played all season? I have no idea. Tim, do you have any idea?
No, they would not have been in the playoffs. Yeah, they would not have been a top four team.
I know. They probably would have just jumped and gone straight to the NFL because Fangeli. But no, sorry, probably not. But, you know, I'm not gonna doubt the New Jersey kid.
Yeah, exactly. If Angeli takes him to the playoffs, and that means he would have been, a redshirt freshman taking them to the playoffs, and the odds of that are slim.
All right, we are signing off. Appreciate everyone for tuning in. SDS, Happy New Year to you as well. Stay locked into Blue and Gold. We'll have much more coverage in the days and weeks to come. And Tim, we'll do a show sometime next week. I'll be in San Antonio next week for just the All-American Bowl. So I don't know what exactly that'll look like, but we'll do a show next week as well. For Tim Hyde, I'm Mike Singer. Appreciate you all, and we'll catch you next time.